Hello and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is a pleasure to be with you. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. The podcast, wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone, you know where to find us. You've been loyal with us, and I can't thank you enough for being loyal with us because we finally arrived at the point that we've all been looking forward to. On today's episode, I got to catch a breath. I actually get to talk about a Grizzlies basketball game. And I get to do it with the excitement of knowing that that's the way that it's going to be. The Grizzlies have 75-plus games, hopefully, with COVID being cooperative, 75-plus games over the next 6-plus months that we get to talk about. And it's so exciting. But yes, we get to talk about Grizzlies basketball, and it's a thrill. Please, when you go to look at the podcast, listen to it, subscribe to it, let us know what you think. If you want something specific discussed, leave us a review and let us know. We always want to make sure our content is relevant to our listeners' preferences. But I think I know what content is going to be preferred today, and that's looking at the first preseason game. In the first segment, we're going to talk about the real positives that stood out. And obviously, no surprise here, it starts with Ja. And then in the second segment, we're going to have to get a little bit more into the numbers, look at some really encouraging things, a few things that hopefully we'll see the Grizzlies improve upon as the second, third, and fourth preseason games occur. And then in general, in the first segment, after a few days of basketball, some things around the NBA that I'm excited about. I know this is a Grizzlies podcast, but I know that a lot of listeners just love the NBA in general. So a few things about the NBA in general that I'm really excited. You know, we've started to see some indications of this preseason. But let's get right into it. A 107-105 victory for the Grizzlies. I know it doesn't count, but damn it, we're going to count it here. So for the Grizzlies, obviously, their first time that they had played right at 4 months. I think it's a few days off from 4 months. But of course, their opponent, the Minnesota Timberwolves, despite having an exciting offseason with new number one pick Anthony Edwards now on the fold, they now were playing their first game within 9 months. And so it was a big layoff for both teams. But of course, also, when it comes from, well, a big layoff from, you know, regular, normal basketball. So when it comes to these two rosters, they were coming back from, you know, an unprecedented calendar year, obviously, in 2020. So there was a bit of sloppiness. But of course, the one thing that stood out was something that we, you know, just, we kind of got used to as the season was going along. We saw at the end of the bubble, and we see it now in the first preseason game. On the same court that Karl Anthony Towns was playing on, who in my opinion, when he's locked in, is a clear top 15 NBA talent in the NBA, and I feel he was locked in at times last night, Ja Morant was the best talent on the court. That is the top number one primary overall thing that you notice about this Grizzlies team. Ja Morant was the best player on the court. And that's what I think is going to be so exciting about this season. Is last year, we were waiting to see, you know, how does Ja look against these premier talents? He showed, obviously, that he was here and he was ready to contribute and he was ready to really take over as the face of this franchise in the third game he ever played against Kyrie Irving. But now we've transitioned from, well, how does Ja look against some of the best talents in the NBA? Now we're in the mode, how many times this year is Ja truly going to stand out as the best player on the court? When you combine the rosters of the two teams between the Grizzlies and the team that they're playing, how many times is Ja really going to clearly stand out as the best talent on the court? I think you're going to be surprised with how many times that actually could happen. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful development. When is the last time? I know there were times when Mike and Mark, you know, they had their games where they were probably the best player on the court. But truly standing out as being like, yeah, that guy is the biggest difference maker out there. The Grizzlies have not had that in such a long time. And now we're going to get to see it on a frequent basis with Ja Morant. And it showed, obviously, last night. His big first half, making plays for himself, making plays for others, hitting that big three at the end of the first half. All those different elements were what makes it so awesome. And it wasn't just his productivity, it's the flair and just the general excitement that he was playing with. But the big thing about it was this, was that Ja was efficient up and down the court. Overall, he was 8 for 12 from the field in the game. For 20 points, he had 11 assists. And those are a few things that really stand out. He was also 2 of 3 from the three-point line. Now, you would love for him probably to get to the line a little bit more, but you also want to kind of be, you want him to be able to be knowledgeable of when and where to pick his spots with driving to the lane, even though he's so good at finishing. But the efficiency was certainly there. Obviously, he's not going to be this efficient all the time. But the big, big thing about his stat line from last night was this. With the 20 points and then the 11 assists, now I don't expect for him to average that during the season. But the more that Ja can himself produce 40 or more points directly through him hopefully scoring 20 to 25 a night and then having around 7 or more assists a night, the more times that he can get that he can produce more than 40 points for his offense through his direct scoring and him producing assists, I think the more he does that, you're going to see that trend with our wins, especially if he does it over 50 points with Justice and Jaren out. The more times that through his assists and his points scored, you see that at that 45 to 50 threshold or above, I think that puts the Grizzlies in a good position to win because they've got such a high floor from one singular source that's providing points, and that's what they're going to need, especially with Justice and Jaren being out. And to see him already in that form, coming off how he was in the bubble, he was in that form to end the bubble. And then now, obviously, in the first game of the preseason, it was such a wonderful development. But it wasn't just the scoring of Ja. As I mentioned, the playmaking, it was the playmaking of the Grizzlies overall. That was the big, big takeaway for me that really stood out as encouraging. 30 overall assists. I believe that I counted it. 7 Grizzlies had multiple assists. And that was the really key takeaway as well. We're going to take our first break, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about that and a few more numbers that stood out to me. I don't want to overreact to the first game, but I do think that this game put on display a few critical aspects of it, a few needed areas of production for the Grizzlies that are really going to help them out if they are wanting to take advantage of their manageable first part of the schedule. Coming up in a second, we'll look at some of the numbers from the first preseason game and why they really could be encouraging for the Grizzlies moving forward. Coming up over the next 10 or so days as we get ready for the start of the NBA season on December 23rd against the Spurs, I will have some notable names from around Memphis that covered the Grizzlies. Joe Mullinax from Grizzly Bear Blues will be talking with us here in the near future, as well as Evan Barnes from the Commercial Appeal. Getting a few names on the show to be able to talk Grizzlies basketball, get their season outlooks with a little bit of an added surprise to enjoy with each of them, but overall just getting different perspectives on the Grizzlies to start the season and the overall season outlooks for Memphis. So be sure to check that out. Really excited to talk with some of the best minds out there when it comes to Grizzlies basketball and some of the really, really awesome folks that cover them around the Memphis market. So talking about the first preseason game, and obviously it is so wonderful to see how locked in Ja Morant, forgive me for, don't forgive me. That makes perfect sense. Seeing how locked in Ja Morant was for the Grizzlies. But beyond that, the playmaking was phenomenal. Again, 30 assists for the Grizzlies. But beyond that, yes, Ja had 11 himself, and Tyus Jones, who was our second leading assist guy, he had 2 assists himself. So 13 of the 30 assists came from Tyus and Ja. That in of itself is a great development. But when you think about it, you had 17 more assists that were contributed from up and down the roster, and that included 7 Grizzlies having multiple assists in the game. 5 off the bench had multiple assists, but a big, huge key development that we talked about, that we've talked about in the bubble. We've also talked about during this offseason, how can Dylan Brooks find ways to contribute even if he is missing shots on a regular basis? Well, last night, he was 2 from 12. He was 0 for 3 from the three from beyond the arc and had 4 points. But he actually had 5 assists. He contributed 5 assists. That is a wonderful development. Because yes, while Dylan still did take 12 shots, which you're just going to have to live with, he's going to take 10 to 15 shots a night. But he found other ways to add solid value despite the fact that he was struggling while shooting. And it was kind of amazing because him and Kyle Anderson kind of switched roles a little bit. Kyle's known as the facilitator while Dylan is known as the volume shooter. Well, last night, Kyle Anderson actually took 8 shots. He made 5 of them, including another another game in which he made multiple threes, and he scored 12 points to go along with four blocks. We'll get to that in a second. But he had zero assists, but that's fine. He was working, his shot was working, while Dylan's ability to pass was working. So the fact that the Grizzlies were able to find in their starting lineup guys who reversed roles, and when their strengths were not working out, they were still able to find other parts of their games to contribute, that is a huge development for the starting lineup. And I think that's why the Grizzlies started Kyle Anderson. Even though Brandon Clark wasn't available for the game, I do think that that's why you may see them start Anderson. I know I've said that I want them to start Brandon Clark. I think that they should, because I really want to see what Brandon Clark can do given an extended time frame in the starting lineup. However, the thing with Kyle Anderson is that with him, you kind of have a bit more consistency in terms of what he can do for others. Like we stated, if his shooting becomes anything that is relevant, which it kind of has been since the beginning of March, when his shoulder got healthy and he fully understood what Taylor Jenkins was expecting from him, if he can make one or two threes a night, that's a huge development. And then, of course, you've got his facilitation, which allows for others off the ball to really be able to move, such as Dylan Anjaw. And, of course, that connection between Kyle Anderson and Jonas Valanciunas that really for stretches of a few minutes allowed the offense to stay afloat while others were struggling. You saw it in the bubble on a few occasions. The chemistry between Kyle and Jonas, especially on offense, certainly makes a difference. But the other big reason why I think Kyle Anderson may make sense as the four is the other thing that stood out besides playmaking last night. Kyle Anderson had four blocks in the game himself. Overall, the Grizzlies had 10 blocks and 7 steals. So Kyle's ability to defend certainly was a big key. But overall, 10 blocks and 7 steals. That helped to contribute to the Grizzlies forcing 22 turnovers. Now, the Timberwolves, obviously, for the first time in 9 months playing, they're going to be a bit sloppy. But the Grizzlies forced 22 turnovers. And off those 22 turnovers, they scored 24 points. Why is that huge? Well, because it gave the Grizzlies 8 extra shot attempts than the Timberwolves had. And it's huge because the Timberwolves had 2 extra threes made and 8 extra free throws made. But the Grizzlies were able to cancel those out because of the extra shots that they had due to creating all the turnovers that they did. And so beyond playmaking on offense, it's the playmaking on defense. I had the pleasure of being with Mason and Sam over at the Backdoor Cut Memphis podcast, and Mason brought up a great point. It was wonderful getting to talk with them. They both are wonderful minds when it comes to Grizzlies basketball and just made a lot of very good points. But one that stood out for me was when Mason talked about this team, how they love to be active. They love to show activity. And the reason why I feel that stands out is because that is something that this team does have the potential to do, and it can really make their defense better, significantly better than it was last year. Now, I asked Coach Taylor Jenkins when it came to the defense what stood out about it from their training camp, and he said that defending the paint last year was a strength for them. They were in the top 10 of defending the paint last year. But obviously, it was working on the perimeter, one-on-one defense, communication. How can they make the most of what they have? And I think that the best way that the Grizzlies can make the most of what they have is playing to their strengths on defense. We know that as athletic as they are and effective on the run, this team loves to get on the fast break. Well, there's no better way to utilize the fast break than coming off of playmaking opportunities such as steals, long rebounds, or blocks on the defensive end. The Grizzlies can create more situations like that by using the activity that makes them so effective on the fast break. Use that same type of activity on the perimeter. Use intentful, disciplined movement and running and things such as that. That's what made Tony Allen so effective. He basically was chaos, but he was controlled and creative chaos, and all of his constant movements were fully intent on disrupting the flow of the opposition's offense. Well, if the Grizzlies can play like that on a consistent basis on defense, it can create turnovers, it can create bad shots, and it can create opportunities where the Grizzlies can truly get out on the run. Now, they didn't have that many fast break points last night, but they did have those extra possessions, and they made the most of them. So it was playmaking on both ends of the courts, and the final thing that stood out that was really a positive as well was the fact that it came up and down the roster. The depth of the Grizzlies really showed last night across the board. But, John Conchar, De'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bane, they all had great games in the backcourt despite Grayson and Dylan kind of struggling with their shooting. They were able to make up for that by their great bench play and also obviously the playmaking as well. So the playmaking on both ends of the court, the ability to for the Grizzlies to pass and set up open looks from both 3 and 2 point looks. Hopefully that will allow for them to stay consistent in terms of getting those high percentage looks. The opportunistic playmaking on defense, just having very intentful activity to try and create negative shot looks or turnovers, and then getting out on the fast break, that showed there as well. If the Grizzlies can do both of those things on a consistent basis, night in and night out, that's the type of step forward that makes this team really be able to be in the playoff discussion, especially when Justice and Jaren goes back. But again, the big third element besides playmaking on offense and defense is the depth. And the fact that the Grizzlies were able to do this both in their starting lineup and through their bench, it is what is highly encouraging. So we've talked about what's highly encouraging for the Grizzlies. Obviously, there's plenty to like, plenty to love going into tonight's game with Minnesota. But there are other things around the NBA that I think are there to love as well that I'm really excited about. Coming up in the third segment, I'm going to talk about a couple of different aspects of the preseason that I've seen from around the NBA so far that really makes me think that besides COVID, the NBA product this year could be better than it was at any point last year. For much of 2020, we've told you about the great product that is Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, a healthy addition to your day. You can have it in the morning for breakfast, afternoon for a snack, before or after a workout, however you choose to enjoy it. But what keeps a product great is having a support team that really knows how to make it better as time goes on, and that's what they've done at BuiltBar.com. You already had 12 flavors to choose from. Now you have 18, 6 new flavors to choose from that may want to make you make more than one order so you can have multiple great taste. I would highly encourage it. But also, they want to make sure that they're taking care of their customers. So, while supplies last, you get a free cooler with your next order of Built Bar, plus 20% off using the promo code Locked On. That's 20% off using the promo code Locked on your next order of Built Bar, plus a free cooler. And the great thing about it is I can tell you with confidence, once you add Built Bar to your daily routine, it's going to be there to stay. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order of Built Bar. NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I'll be tuning in for the preview of the Memphis Grizzlies. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy this great tune-up for the regular season. So obviously going into this season, COVID is going to be a big storyline. It's something that's going to have to be really monitored. And the unfortunate thing about it, kind of like I mentioned back, you know, before the bubble started, was that the unfortunate thing about COVID is that with the way that it spreads, you saw when the season was suspended. Within a few hours of it being found out that Gobert had tested positive for the coronavirus, the season was suspended. It was halted, and we didn't play for 4 months, and it led to just an unprecedented, you know, event, an unprecedented development of the bubble for us to even have a conclusion to the season. So the unfortunate thing about COVID is that, number one, it exists, you know, by itself, even existing is obviously a huge deal. While the vaccine may be coming, you know, soon, it still is a situation that can make a big impact, and it can make a big impact quickly without much warning. So that's going to be a huge storyline for this season. But I actually think that there could be a better product in the NBA this year than there was last year, and it's because of the depth of interesting and difference-making talents. For instance, this preseason, last night, for instance, we saw on display Kyrie Irving, we saw Kevin Durant, we saw John Wall over in Golden State. You're getting Draymond Green and you're getting Steph Curry back. Over in Portland, a guy who I really, really love and I thought made his difference-making ability clearly shown in the bubble, especially against the Grizzlies, is a full season of Joseph Nurkic. Just a lot of different names that either are elite star-level, Hall of Fame-level type names or difference-makers right now who are back ready to play. Now, some of those names directly are likely going to make it tough for Memphis to get back to the playoffs. And some of those names could be polarizing. In general, you may not like some of the names that I mentioned. However, I truly do think the NBA is at its best. The NBA is better for itself when those players are on the court. So I think that the return of several elite names is a really highly encouraging development. And not only that, but you've seen them put on some great displays back in their games. The way that John Wall, the way that Kevin Durant, the way that Kyrie Irving played, it was wonderful to see. The other thing that I think that this preseason is starting to show is that there also are several second and third year players who either because of opportunity or because of depth on their teams, they may not have had a big opportunity. Because of other situations, it didn't work out in their rookie season. Maybe it's injuries, you know, whatever, what have you. I think that in a season where the overall rookie class may be a bit higher to get excited about, you know, we saw Anthony Edwards really struggle at times last night, and I think that he's going to take a big transition period, as are the other rookies in this rookie class. But other young names who really are naturally talented, they just haven't had it worked out for them for whatever reason in the NBA. I'm hoping that several of those guys get the opportunity to make the most of their situations. We saw RJ Barrett from New York and Sekou from the Detroit Pistons. They went back and forth last night. Both had really outstanding games. We've seen other names. For instance, would love to see Marvin Bagley finally stay healthy, because that's something that Sacramento really needs. Those names and others that are kind of post-hype, you know, talents that you were really excited about seeing what they could do in the NBA, but for whatever reason, it's not clicked yet. Even Zion, you know, him coming back from injury. I think that a lot, you could see more depth, more relevant depth emerge for the NBA's future than many may expect there to be right now. You could see that as the season goes along. And while they may not be elite names like the Durants and the Irvings and the Currys, they still are relevant names because they're going to make more teams competitive. And have whatever thoughts you may have that about the Grizzlies. The more competitive teams are in the NBA, the better the product is. So just for some different levels of names that are going to be available, that's one highly encouraging sign, I feel. And I think the other thing that really stands out as well is that you're starting to see, you know, Parker Fleming over at Grizzly Bear Blues really likes to use the term positionless basketball. Well, I think that you're really starting to see that type of mindset really apply. And you're starting to see bigs who can act like guards, guards who are so athletic that they can do things bigs do. The Grizzlies, for instance, putting in four guard lineups to really impact their shooting ability and really, you know, improve it, you know, in place of Jaren Jackson Jr. That's some type of strategy that you're going to start seeing the Grizzlies implement more for them to really accomplish the shooting, you know, potential on the floor that Taylor Jenkins wants. But the creativity that is out there, I know that a name that I have started to interact with a bit more, his name's Will Gottlieb. He covers the Bulls, big Bulls fan. He showed a clip of Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. from the Bulls. They did a pick and roll with the 4 and 5 on the court for the Bulls. That type of thing you would have not seen in the NBA 10 to 15 years ago even, and definitely not before that. So just the creativity of the coaches' approaches that they're implementing into the game, as well as the players' abilities, just a wide range variety of abilities that you see that we're hoping to certainly see when Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back, those things right there are reasons why I feel like the NBA truly could be a better product this season, especially if COVID cooperates. But with the depth of names that are there from the elite, you know, perspective, but also names that really could break out in terms of the youth perspective, I think that the depth of potential that you have to see multiple versions of that this year is going to be really, really fun to witness in terms of being a general NBA fan beyond just cheering for the Grizzlies. So tonight, obviously, the Grizzlies get started again against the Timberwolves. Our first real glimpse at what could, of how impactful playing the same team back-to-back could be. I know that that's been a question that's been asked in a few of the media sessions. You know, Gorgui Dieng kind of, you know, really hit it on the head. He said it's kind of like the playoffs. You know, when you play the same team back-to-back, the only time you've really done that is in the playoffs, so it is a different mindset. You're going to see, you know, teams, you know, find it hard to beat the same team twice. As far as the Grizzlies go tonight, obviously a bit better shot selection, a bit better opportunity to limit some looks for the Timberwolves, hopefully a few more shots will fall in. But in general, as Coach Taylor Jenkins said, you know, before the first preseason game, the big thing is health. You may see the starters run more. Hopefully, Dylan and Grayson can shoot a bit more. If not, we may start to see changes, you know, at that number two position to support Jaw and Dylan on the perimeter. But just seeing how the Grizzlies really continue to utilize their roster, are they going to start looking at units where you're seeing Desmond Bane get play with Dylan Brooks and De'Anthony Melton and Jaw? You know, that's the thing about it, is that the Grizzlies, though they don't have a lot of quality talent out on the perimeter right now to support Jaw, there is plenty of intriguing quantity. And so seeing more of those players play together and their chemistry develop, that could really put the Grizzlies into a good, you know, situation going forward. So seeing that the Grizzlies can continue to limit mistakes, capitalize out the mistakes of Minnesota, and can somebody step up as a consistent shooter from three, though the Grizzlies did have good looks, some of them did not fall. So a really good thing that I think would come from the game tonight, can somebody step forward to show that they could really have an impact shooting from distance beyond Jaw, hopefully remaining his dominant self, and really getting to see if the depth again will provide as much spark and as much production as it did, which truly made a difference in the first game. It's been another pleasure getting to spend time with you today. Again, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you want to view the show, listen to the show. Please do listen, rate, and subscribe. We would love to hear your feedback, as we always love to make sure that our content is straight on with our listeners' preferences. My name is Sean Coleman. Enjoy the game tonight. We will be back tomorrow breaking it all down once again as the Grizzlies head back to Memphis before they end their preseason with back-to-back games against the Hawks. Hope you have a great Monday, and make sure to tune in again as we've got some great names from the Memphis area coming on to talk with us on several different season previews, but we'll be glad to talk with you tomorrow and on future episodes. Until then, have a great day, and we'll talk to you again here soon on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.
Hello. Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.